All right, let's dive into a case that really shook things up in California, employment law specifically. It's Edwards v. Arthur Anderson. Imagine, just imagine being told, hey, you got to give up every single claim you could ever have, like past, present, future, just to get this new job. Feels a little shady, don't you think?
Yeah, it definitely raises some red flags. And you know what? That's exactly what happened in this case.
Oh, absolutely.
And it set a precedent that's still super relevant today, especially, you know, if you're in California or dealing with California law.
Especially in California, yeah.
Yeah.
So to get into this, we've got the court decision itself, we've got some expert legal analysis, and we're going to unpack all of this.
Yeah, let's break it down.
So first, let's set the scene. It's 2002, the Enron scandal is exploding,
yeah.
And Arthur Anderson, one of the big five accounting firms, is, well, they're caught in the middle of it all.
Right. Anderson's trying to stay afloat, so they start selling off pieces of the company, their practice groups, to other firms.
And that's where our main character, Raymond Edwards, comes in.
Yeah.
He's a CPA working for Anderson, and when his group gets sold to HSBC, they offer him a new job. But there's a catch.
A big one.
A huge catch. They want him to sign this thing called a Termination of Non-Compete Agreement, or TONC for short.
Catchy, right.
Super catchy. And it's filled with some really aggressive clauses.
Like super aggressive.
Okay, so let's break down this TONC. It's got this blanket release of claims, which basically means Edwards can't sue Anderson for anything, even stuff he doesn't know about yet. Plus a non-disparagement clause, so he can't say anything bad about them.
Right, if I keep it zipped.
And then on top of that, they're like, oh, and you have to cooperate with us in any investigations or lawsuits.
Talk about adding insult to injury.
Is it, come on. So what did the California Supreme Court think about all of this?
Oh, they were not happy. Basically, they said, hold on, Anderson, you can't just stomp all over California law.
Right, like there are rules.
Exactly. They brought up this thing called California Business and Professions Code Section 16600, which basically says any contract that stops someone from working in a legal profession is void, no exceptions.
Wow. So California was like, we're serious about this. You wanted to do business here. Employee mobility is not negotiable.
Exactly. It's a hard line.
Big statement. But what about protecting legitimate trade secrets? Did the court address that?
They did. They made a distinction saying, you know, legitimate trade secret protection. That's under a different part of the law, section 3426.
Okay, so you can't just disguise a non-compete as trade secret protection.
Nope, not gonna fly.
No loopholes.
But this whole any and all claims release clause still seems pretty iffy. Did the court talk about that specifically?
Well, they did. They pointed to California Labor Code section 2802, which basically lays out these employee rights that can't be waived even if you sign something saying you'll waive them.
Even if you sign it away, it's like, nope, still there.
Exactly. And one of those is the right to indemnification. So just to clarify, that means even if you sign something, your employer can't make you pay for their legal problems.
Especially if those problems came from something you did while you were working for them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, you shouldn't be on the hook for that.
Right. Those rights are considered fundamental in California.
Can't just sign them away.
Nope. And this is where it gets even trickier for employers.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Lay it on me.
Okay, so because of California Labor Code Section 2804, you can't use vague language to get someone to waive these rights.
Ah, so you can't be sneaky about it.
Exactly. To make the waiver valid, it needs really specific language, like spelling out exactly what's being waived and how.
It's got to be super clear, but
using that kind of specific language
is a problem.
Illegal under Section 2804, it's a total catch-22 for employers.
Oh, wow. So they're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Pretty much.
So what happened to Edwards and Anderson in the end? How did this all play out?
Well, the California Supreme Court sided with Edwards, you know, said that whole TONC he was asked to sign, invalid, unenforceable under California law.
To a win for Edwards.
Yeah. Major victory for employee rights in the state, really sent shockwaves through the legal and business world.
It's a landmark case for sure.
Yeah.
But was everyone on the court in agreement? Were there any dissenting opinions?
There was one from Justice Kennard. She agreed with the majority on the non-compete issue, but she raised a really interesting point about the any and all claims release.
Okay, I'm listening.
She argued that just demanding a release of those non-waivable rights could be considered independently wrongful conduct.
Whoa, wait, so just asking for that kind of release could be grounds for a lawsuit?
Yeah, it's a pretty bold statement, and it's actually had a lasting impact on legal strategy in these kinds of cases.
So it's like, even the dissent had an impact.
Absolutely. It gets into some really nuanced areas of the law.
Okay, so just so we're clear, The majority of the court didn't agree with that independently wrongful conduct idea, right?
Right. They essentially said that to prove tortious interference, you'd need more than just the contract itself being problematic.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a lot to unpack, but it seems like this case really set a strong precedent in favor of employee rights in California.
Absolutely. Edwards v. Arthur Anderson is a cornerstone of California's employee-friendly reputation. It shows how committed the state is to protecting worker mobility and limiting the power of employers to restrict future opportunities.
Huge implications.
Yeah.
And the story doesn't end there. We'll delve into those ripple effects in the next part of our deep dive, so stay tuned.
So yeah, Edwards v. Arthur Anderson definitely had a big impact, but it didn't completely wipe out non-competes in California. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been over 2 decades since that ruling.
Yeah.
I'm sure some employers are still trying to push the boundaries, see what they can get away with.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a game of cat and mouse. Because of this case, employers have had to get really creative, finding ways to, you know, protect their interests without running afoul of Section 1600-600.
Right, got to stay on the right side of the law.
Yeah.
So what are some of these, like, creative strategies? How are companies trying to thread that needle?
Well, one thing we've seen is a rise in non-solicitation agreements.
Okay, so as opposed to non-competes, which totally bar you from working for a competitor.
Right. Non-solicitation agreements are more focused. They're about protecting relationships.
So you can't go poaching clients or employees from your old company.
Exactly. But you're not completely locked out of an entire industry.
Okay. So that's a little more targeted.
Much more targeted.
Do those hold up in court?
More often than not, yes. Courts have generally found them okay under California law, as long as they're specific, you know, and don't basically prevent someone from working in their chosen field.
Right. You can't just make it so broad that it's essentially a non-compete in disguise.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance. Employers want to protect their business, but they can't overstep and risk those Edwards consequences.
Yeah, that case is like a big flashing warning sign.
It is. It's a cautionary tale for employers, a source of hope for employees, and honestly, a really fascinating study for anyone interested in how law, business, and the workplace all intersect.
That's a great point. Speaking of hope for employees, let's talk about the practical takeaway for our listeners. Like, how does all of this impact them directly?
Well, if you're working in California or thinking about it, Edwards v. Arthur Anderson is like having an ace up your sleeve.
Okay, I like that analogy.
You've got a strong legal basis to push back against any agreement that feels overly restrictive, you know?
Don't just sign away your rights without understanding what you're giving up.
Exactly. And for the employers out there listening, what's the message for them?
Yeah, what should they be thinking about?
It's a reminder to be meticulous, you know?
Yeah.
Make sure your contracts are actually compliant with California law. Overreaching with non-competes or those super broad releases, it can backfire big time, and this case is a prime example.
It really highlights the importance of having good legal counsel, someone who can guide you through all the complexities and help you avoid trouble.
Absolutely. Employment law is nuanced. It can be tricky. Having an expert on your side to navigate the specifics of your jurisdiction is crucial.
Totally agree. But even without using outright non-competes, didn't you say that employers could still get in hot water under other laws?
That's right. Remember how the court shut down that independently wrongful conduct argument related to tortious interference?
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting dissent.
It was. But that doesn't mean employers are completely off the hook. There are other legal avenues that could come into play, like California's unfair competition law, or UCL, and the Cartwright Act.
So even if they steer clear of non-competes, there are still other potential pitfalls.
Exactly. The UCL is pretty broad. It prohibits any unlawful, unfair, or fraudulent business act or practice.
So it casts a wide net.
It does.
Okay.
And some legal experts argue that even demanding those overly broad release clauses, even without an actual non-compete, could fall under the UCL.
Interesting. So like, if it feels like the release is designed to scare employees out of asserting their rights, that could be a problem.
Exactly. And then there's the Cartwright Act, California's antitrust law.
Oh, right. I remember learning about that in law school.
It could come into play if an employer's actions seem to, you know, unfairly stifle competition in the job market.
So it's not just about individual employees. It's about the overall health of the market.
Right. It's about ensuring a level playing field.
It sounds like Edwards v. Arthur Anderson really opened up a whole new set of considerations for employers.
It did. It's a constant reminder that employment law is dynamic. It's always evolving. What might have been okay before might not be okay now.
It's like a legal minefield out there.
In a way, yeah. But that's why it's so important to stay informed, consult with experts, and be aware of the potential consequences of your actions, you know?
Solid advice. I feel like we've covered a ton of ground here. Let's shift gears a bit and explore how this case has played out in the real world, especially in a place like California, with its booming tech industry. Ready for part three? All right, so let's wrap this up and talk about the real-world impact of this case, especially in California, you know, with its huge tech scene.
It's been fascinating to watch how Edwards v. Arthur Anderson has shaped things. It really solidified California's rep as an employee-friendly state, which has had a massive influence on Silicon Valley and the tech world in general.
Yeah, it seems like it's given tech workers a level of freedom that's pretty unique. You know, the ability to jump between companies, chase those exciting new opportunities, and it's got to be a driver of innovation.
Exactly. Without the fear of strict non-competes looming over their heads, engineers and developers can take their skills to startups, share ideas, push boundaries. It's pretty amazing.
It's almost like Edwards v. Arthur Anderson is baked into the DNA of Silicon Valley. You know, It helped create this environment of rapid growth and constant change.
A lot of people argue that it's a key factor in California's dominance in tech. But of course, there's always another side to the coin. This freedom is great for employees, but it presents challenges for employers.
Right. They still need to protect their trade secrets, their IP, their competitive edge. How do they do that in such a fluid environment?
Like we discussed earlier, they've leaned more heavily on non-solicitation agreements, which can be pretty effective for protecting relationships as long as they're written carefully.
It always comes back to that balance. Employee mobility versus employer protection. Seems like the law is always trying to find that sweet spot.
It's a constant balancing act. And that's where Edwards v. Arthur Anderson is so important. It set a precedent that courts and lawyers still refer back to as they try to figure out these complex issues.
So what's the biggest takeaway for our listeners today?
Well, I think the key message is knowledge is power. Whether you're an employee or an employer, understanding your rights and obligations in this legal landscape is crucial.
Don't just sign any document blindly, right?
Read it carefully, ask questions, and if anything feels off, get legal advice.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And remember, the law doesn't stay static. It's always changing. So staying informed is essential.
Absolutely. This case proves it. It's had consequences far beyond what anyone could have predicted at the time.
Edwards v. Arthur Anderson is a reminder that legal decisions have consequences that can shape not just individual lives, but whole industries, even the culture of a state.
Yeah, awful stuff.
It's been a great deep dive, exploring a case that still resonates today. We've unpacked the legal complexities, the business impact, even the cultural shifts it helped create.
Law isn't just some abstract theory. It has real-world effects that touch all of our lives.
That's a great way to put it. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into Edwards v. Arthur Anderson. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to all the sources we discussed.
Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time.